I'll be reading from Acts chapter 9, verses 26 through 28. And when Paul was come to Jerusalem, he tried to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of the Lord Jesus. And he was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem.
I wasn't trying to be tacky standing up. It just is easier than sitting down and getting back up again this morning. Acts chapter 9, verse 26, we read about Paul. And after he became a Christian, it says he tried to join himself to the apostles. We want to look at what church should I join. Now, the interesting thing about this lesson, it's not one I put together. This was a sermon preached by Philo Bunyan Shrigley, F.B. Shrigley, who held a tent meeting on the property where the former Grant Street building now sits in 1910. And we don't know for a fact if he preached this sermon in that meeting or not, but there was a small group of Christians here in Decatur around 1910, and they didn't really have a congregation in town, and so they invited F.B. Shrigley to come and hold a tent meeting. One reason they invited him is because he owned his own tent, so he could bring it with him and set it up. And that tent meeting was held right there, and then a congregation was established in a school building on Jackson Street, and then later that property was acquired and that building was built in 1925. But just as surely as this was a question in 1910 as to what church should I join, it is still a question that people want to ask today. In fact, in today's world, there are so many more groups of religious folks all claiming to follow Jesus. And, you know, if you just, as an outsider looking in, it can get pretty confusing. You know, you look at all these different beliefs, and every one of them claims they're following the same book and the same God. And yet, they don't teach anything close sometimes to the same thing. And so, you know, nobody wants to get into the wrong church. And the truth is, there are good men and women in every religious organization as far as just goodness. And so, you know, the common man wants to just be a Christian and live in heaven forever. That's really what it's all about. That's what we all should be striving for. And, you know, but at the same time, you look at all these people, and again, good people, as the world would define it, in these different churches, and they all, you know, make a claim for their church, you know, being a good one, the right one. And so, you know, you don't want to just accuse people of not being honest or not being, and so it can be difficult. You know, and here's the fact, here's the truth though. All these folks that say you need to join the church of your choice, odds are, if you joined one and then later went over here and joined another one, that person's going to kick you out. They can tell you join the church of your choice, but if you choose somebody else's, you're done with them. So, what do we need to do? What church should a person join? If God has ever commanded any person at any time among any people to join any church, I have yet personally to find it in the pages of God's Word. Has God ever asked us to join anything? Now, the reason that Dennis read that from Acts chapter 9 doesn't really talk about the church as such. But people want to use that and say, see, Paul tried to join the church in Jerusalem. That's not at all what was God got to do? He added those extra two verses to give us a little bit more context. All you got to do is read it. He was already a Christian. He wanted to get in with the apostles and Christians in Jerusalem. So he tried to join up with them in their work. And they didn't trust him right there at first. And you can understand why. And if you go to the end of Acts chapter 7, this same man named Saul was holding the outer garments of the people that stoned Stephen to death for believing in Christ. And now he's back years later saying, I'm one of you. You know, I agree now with Stephen, even though I had him put to death. You know, even though I had people arrested, thrown in prison, and you know that, but now I'm one of them. Well, they suspected maybe this was just a ruse, a clever ploy to get on the inside and then just take out all the leadership. So they didn't want him, you know, didn't really want to have anything to do with him. But if you look, as Barnabas, and that's another thing, it takes all kinds to make up the church. It takes various talents and personalities, because there's a lot of different responsibilities. If there had not been a Barnabas, there may not have been a Paul. Because Barnabas is the one that everybody did trust. And when he trusted Paul, it's like, well, that's good enough for me. And that opened a lot of doors for Paul. So Barnabas may not have been Paul. He might not have been the great evangelist, but he had a huge role to play in making sure that there was a Paul. You know, but if you look, it touches, in fact, if you look at in Acts chapter 9, you're looking at the conversion of Saul as he becomes Paul. That's what Luke is writing about by inspiration there. And wasn't talking about wanting to join the church, because if you go over to Galatians chapter 1, and we pick up at verse 15, and this is Paul writing, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. So are we ready to believe that Paul had been a preacher of the gospel for at least 3 years, had already made a missionary trip to Arabia, and yet he was not a member of the church? He was still trying to join the church 3 years later when he went to Jerusalem? Of course not. Of course not. That's not what that's talking about at all. He simply wanted to join with the disciples. And as we said, they were afraid of him. And again, this is the fourth, at least on my end, this month, of the basic first principles that the elders wanted us to look at throughout the month of September. And we need to understand things about the church. And I'm not really talking about the characteristics, the qualities of the Lord's church. That could be another sermon altogether. But we need to understand that this popular concept that's been around forever, you know, join the church of your choice, that we need to know what the Bible says about these things. And so that's what this sermon, this will conclude my part this month, at least, of these first principles. And then, Lord willing, in November, we'll all do some sermons morning and evening from the book of Acts. And so, which I have no doubt will also involve first principles to a great extent, because that's what the book of Acts to a great extent or primarily is about. So anyway, the point is to join a church. What that means is I would have to do one thing to become a Christian and then do something else to be a member of the church. And that doesn't seem to follow with what God has to say, because in God's word, all Christians are in Christ's church. How did they get there? Acts chapter 2, verse 47. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. See, God adds to His church. Men add to their church. You don't read there where God said, now all of you 3,000 that were baptized at first and became part of the church, now from now on, I'm going to put these candidates in front of you and you vote on them to see if you want to let them in. You don't read anything like that. You don't read anything that, okay, these people were baptized, and now I'm going to let them just go to church wherever they want to go. You don't read that either. The Lord added to the church every day those who were being saved. Membership in the Lord's church is not a man-given privilege. It is a divinely given privilege. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, just in the body. How? As He pleased. Membership in the body of Christ is determined by God, not by man. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of His body, which is the church. So God has set in the body each member as He pleased, and that body is, in fact, the church. So then God, obviously, gives people membership in the church, and He gives it to all of His children when they become His children, and they retain that membership as long as they remain His children. Now, if we join any church after becoming a child of God, then we're doing something that has not been commanded for us to do. And at that point, we will separate ourselves from the others that are God's faithful children. Because God put us in His Son's body, the church. God put us in His family. God made us His children when we were born and into His family by water and the Spirit. If I choose to join some other body, then I'm separating myself from those who are striving to continue to be God's faithful children. Because see, all Christians are reconciled, and reconciled people are Christians. These are people that have been, to reconcile is basically to put back on speaking terms. And so Christ came so that through His death He could reconcile sinful men back to their Creator, to the Father, put them back on speaking terms with the Father. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, having abolished in His flesh the enmity. That's it. I'm sorry, I'm way out of whack there. And let me go to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 29 and 30. I'll look at the right place in a minute. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church, for we are what? Members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. If I go to join another religious group, I am causing separation in the family and creating division, or separation is wrong. That is a sin. So I can't go join a church. God adds me to His church, and on top of that, all Christians are in the same church. Now, I know that's not a popular thought in today's world. Never has been, as far as I know. But all Christians are in the same church. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15 through 17. According to God, there's two groups of people on the planet. And it's not based on skin color, economic standing, social standing, educational degrees, or whatever. There's two groups of people. I'm either lost or I'm saved. As Peter wrote, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. For if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, there's an us, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? There's two distinct classes of people. There are those that have been reconciled to God, that are saved and in the church, and then there's everybody else. All of the saved are in the church. And the class, if you will, that's called Christians, that two classes of people, the Christians and the world, the saved and the lost, however you want to name it, whatever you want to call it, those, that class known as Christians, they all belong to the house of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Paul writing to Timothy so that he knows how he ought to behave himself in the house of God, the family of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. The idea there is that house is used as family. So if all Christians are in the house of God and the house of God is the church of the living God, then logic says all Christians are in the church of the living God. You go to Acts chapter 16, verses 30 through 33. You remember Paul and Silas were in jail in Philippi. About midnight, they were singing praises to God. Verse 25, the jailer comes in, falls down in front of them, and says, "Sirs, what must do to be saved?" They answer him and say, "If you believe, you and your family, you can be saved." And so they took him the same hour of the night. They taught him, and then he took them and washed their stripes, and he and all his family. And you notice in verse 31, you can be saved, you and your house or your household. The idea is the house there, the household, that's his family. It's not the physical structure. The church is the house or household of God. It's the family, not some sort of physical structure. You go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear and did what? Prepared an ark for the saving of his house or household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. What's that? It's his family. Who was in that ark? Him, his wife, three of his sons and their wives. Eight people. His family. He prepared the ark to save his house. That is his family. So God's house or household is just that, his family, and it is the church. So either I'm either in one of those two classes. I'm in a class called Christian, which means I'm in the church, or I'm not. And that's it. That's all there is when it comes to God and our relationship with Him. And just like that, there's only two masters that I can serve. I'm either going to serve God or I'm going to serve Satan. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. And if you're not with me, you're against me. If you don't gather with me, you scatter abroad. I can't do both. There is no fence straddling. I'm either on the side of Christ or I'm on the side of Satan. You cannot serve, as Christ put it, God and mammon. There are two masters to serve. There are two paths to walk. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many that go in thereby, but narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life. And there are few who find it. There's two masters to serve. There's two ways to walk. There are only two kingdoms. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He has transferred or delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His dear Son. See, you got two masters, two paths, two kingdoms, two institutions, the church and the world. If I am a Christian and I have gotten that way, the only way I'm going to be a Christian is by being obedient to the will of God, as those folks in Acts chapter 2, when they were baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins, then they were added to the church. There's only one. And all Christians are in the church, not a church. They are in the church that Jesus in Matthew 16 promised to build, and that He did build, and that He shed His blood to pay for, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. So how many churches then does God have? Well, every person should belong to everything that's in the Bible. So if there's a dozen churches that are okay in the Bible, then folks, we got to be members of all 12. Because if I'm faithful to God, I'm going to do everything that He wants me to do. I'm going to be a part of everything of which He wants me to be a part. So if He says there's 100 churches out there, then I'm going to have to be a part of all of them if I'm going to please Him, if He approves all of them. But all redeemed people, again, are Christians, and we are redeemed, Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, in Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Talking about Christ, the forgiveness of sins. And so to be in Christ is to be in His church. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. And He put all things under His feet. Talking about God the Father putting all things under God the Son's feet. And He gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. If I am a child of God, if I am redeemed in Christ, then I am in Christ. And if I am in Christ, His body is, in fact, the church. So since we're redeemed in Christ, and since to be in Christ is to be in His church, therefore all redeemed people are in His church. All Christians are reconciled, and reconciled people are Christians. Now we'll go to Ephesians 2, that I tried to go through a while ago, verse 15 and 16, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. The body, again, can't emphasize it enough, is the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And again, since all Christians are reconciled and they are reconciled in the church, it follows that all Christians are in the church. See, Christ was manifested to the world in two bodily terms. He had his natural body and his spiritual body. Obviously, as human beings, we cannot enter into Christ's physical body. So, of necessity, logically, we must conclude that when we read of being redeemed in Christ and being reconciled in Christ and entering into Christ, we conclude that it is his spiritual body, the church, into which we enter, not his physical, natural body. So when a man talks about which church to join, but Christians belong to Christ. They belong to him by redemption, by purchase, and they belong to his church for the same reason. So if a person belongs to Christ because he has redeemed us, he has paid for us, he has paid the price, he's given his life, he's redeemed us through his blood, and he's paid for the church with that blood, then it would follow that all who have been paid for, purchased, redeemed, forgiven, are in his body, which is the church. And there's really no other way to look at it. They belong to the church for the same reason they belong to Christ. He paid for us. He died for us. And if I'm in Christ, I'm in his church. And you will never, ever find in Scripture any indication that there is more than one approved church in the New Testament. You cannot find it. And I know people say, well, you know, the church is kind of like your hand. This is the church, universal, but all your fingers are the different branches, like this denomination, this one, that's interesting, except there's nothing in Scripture even remotely close to hinting at a 42nd cousin of that idea. There's nothing that indicates that's at all what God has in mind when he talks about the church. In fact, you can trace back all of those denominational bodies to some person or groups of persons or some event, human event, that started every one of them. Well, but isn't it Christ's church? Yes. Well, then who had to start it? Well, I would think that since it's his, he did. Who paid for it? Well, it's his, he did. Who gives us the rules by which to live within that? Well, since it's his, he does. And all throughout the New Testament, it just says over and over and over and over and over again that all those who've been redeemed in the blood of Christ, that is, have been baptized into his death, Romans 6, 3 and 4, where the blood was shed, John 19, 32 through 34, they have been forgiven and they are in his body, which is unmistakably throughout Scripture, the church. Also interchangeably used with the term kingdom of God, or kingdom of Christ. Those that are waiting on a kingdom to come. Jesus used the terms in Matthew 16. He talked about the church and his kingdom. And he just used those terms interchangeably. He is now, Peter said it in Acts 2. This same Jesus, verse 36, that you crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. He is the Lord, the ruler of his kingdom right now. He is seated, Colossians 3, 1 through 4, at the right hand of the throne of God. And read 1 Corinthians 15. When he returns again in that final resurrection, he will give the kingdom back to the Father. He will not start it. The Bible is as clear as a bell. He will give it back at that point. If Christ is not a king now, what is he? Why would we obey him if he's not our sovereign ruler? Obviously, he rules over his kingdom right now, just exactly like Daniel or like Isaiah and Daniel prophesied that it would start in Jerusalem. Daniel, the Nebuchadnezzar's dream, Isaiah, and it would fill the whole earth. And that's exactly what has happened. Who's the ruler? Christ. He is the head of his body, the church. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. There's no way to possibly misunderstand that unless I just want to misunderstand that. See, I personally, and you, have no trouble trying to figure out which church to join, because we know from the Bible, we don't join any. There's nothing. There's no church that a Christian ought to join. I've heard my dad say many times, and I'll probably leave line out, I don't want, but any church you can join will condemn your soul to hell. Because God doesn't give us any permission or authority to join any religious group. And Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says, everything I do in word or deed, that's pretty much all of life, I'm either talking or doing it unless I'm sleeping. Everything I do by the authority of or in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Where do I find in the last will and testament of Christ where He tells me, if you're a Christian, you need to go join a church? You will never find it. He does not give us authority to do that. Therefore, if I try to take that authority on myself and do that, I cannot possibly be obedient to the Lord, because that's not what He says. So, you know, it's not necessary to be in any of these churches to go to heaven. In fact, it's a fact that if I go join one outside the body of Christ, then again, I'm causing division. And that's a sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Paul encouraged the people in Corinth. That was one of their problems. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you. If I'm trying to go out here and get into this one, and this one, and this one, and this one, that's all dividing. And God says, I don't want my son's body to be divided. So I'm wrong on several counts if I try to go join a church that says it's okay to join us because you can't find it. So obviously that's not a church that Christ established, because it would not have something as important as how to get into it in an unscriptural way if in fact it was the scriptural church that Jesus said He would build. So if a person has been redeemed in Christ, the bottom line is he's a Christian. And no matter how far away he wanders or what he joins, he's still a Christian. But just like the prodigal son, he was still the man's son. His father was back at home. And as long as he was out there in that foreign land, he was not at home. He was lost as far as home was concerned. In fact, according to his father, he was like he was dead as far as home was concerned. Now, he's still a son, but he's not a son in good standing with all of the privileges of sonship. And that's true with us as well. We can be baptized into Christ, added to His body, but then if somewhere later down the road we leave and join ourselves to some other religion, we're still the child of God. But we're outside the family at that point, and all the privileges of membership and the promised inheritance, it's all gone, unless and until I come back home. See, we need to encourage people to stop asking what church to join and start asking, how do I become a Christian? That's what people need to know. And there would be very little trouble with that question if it wasn't for the human institutions and all the different things that they teach, because God's Word is pretty simple. He tells me I need to believe. Acts chapter 16, we already noted, verse 31. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved in your household. Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. John chapter 12, verse 48. If anyone does not accept me or rejects me and does not receive my words, he has that which judges him. The word that I've spoken in the last day will judge him. I need desperately to believe, and I need to believe through the Word, and it's through that Word, Romans 10:17, that faith actually comes. And then I need to turn with a heart and a mind of repentance, Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Times of this ignorance God winked at, but now He commands all men everywhere to repent. It's critical. Luke chapter 13, 3, Jesus Himself said, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And then I need to be willing to say, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans 10:10, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then obviously, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter answered them when they asked him, what do we need to do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on to say, promises to you, and ultimately about 3,000 that gladly accepted the word, the teaching, in other words, they believed, they were baptized that very day. Acts chapter 22, verse 16. Paul, talking about his own conversion, he says, when Ananias came to him, he said to him, now why are you waiting? Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. See, the question, can a person find someone who will baptize him without asking him to join his church? Absolutely, he will, if he finds the one who teaches the truth. When someone comes to one of you and wants to know what baptism's all about, and they want to be baptized, and you share the truth with them, you're not going to ask them, when I do this, what church are you going to join? That's not a question that's asked, because it's pointless. They're going to be added by God. So then with whom shall I worship? Worship with people who worship in harmony with the book. That's what matters. So what church should I join? None. Not a single one. Come to Christ. Be baptized into Him and let the Lord add you to His church. And then together, as the household or family of God, we can travel the difficult path that leads to eternal life. And if a response this morning would make that trip possible, then come down front while we stand and sing.